Plenty of time to fellowship afterwards. It is, if you'd all have your seats, it's wonderful to see you. Before we start, just a couple of quick things. All these books Tiffany mentioned and stuff, they are in the church office in the church library, and they're available to be taken out. Also, last week we weren't really able to do just the way things worked out to take up our normal missions offering. So if you do have your missions offering and would like to give that in today, we do have our missions envelopes here, and we can reserve this offering plate for that. Or if not today, next week, you want to take an offering with you, an envelope with you, and bring it in next week, that's fine too. We just want to make sure everyone has a chance to give their missions gifts. Right now, I want to ask if Sonia and Rick would come down for a second. You would both come forward. Sonia and Rick are going this week, this coming weekend, to a marriage encounter. And as we did last year, we want to go ahead and just bless those that are going. And I know more are going, correct, from your, no? Okay. We're hoping they would. We just want to pray a blessing on them as they go. Father, we thank you, God, for their time. Thank you for this appointed hour and anointed hour. We pray, Lord God, not only do you just take this time to just anoint them and bless them and work in their lives that's going to, in things that's going to go well beyond just their marriage, but with you and their church and everything else about them, Lord God. So we just give you the glory, and we just pray that as they receive from you, they will be able to pour out into other people's lives those things that they've received. So we thank you, God. May you just go before them and just make the way straight for them, Father God, from traveling there and back, and just their time together there with you and those other couples that they would be able to encourage as well. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you that weren't able to go this year, they do it every March. It's $75 for two nights in a hotel plus all your meals included for a couple. Not per person, for a couple. You can't go wrong. So if you are interested, we'll definitely make plans to send you next year. So right now, if you would take your Bibles and you'd raise them, let's give glory to God for his word. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. Now, with those same Bibles, if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. The main verses we're going to be looking at are verses 5 through 7. But I want us to go ahead right now and just read 1 through 8 of chapter 3. This, I'm sorry, I'm just looking at 1 Timothy. Let me turn to 2 Timothy. Here we go. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Seems like a great bunch of guys, right? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So, what are we talking about here? Let's give a little quick background. This is 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is who's the mentor, spiritual mentor of Timothy, is writing him a letter to encourage him in dealing with his church. Timothy obviously is having some issues with certain things in the church. So the people he's talking about here are actually people in the church. For the sake of our discussion today, Christians. He's talking to Timothy about being careful of certain Christians or people who label themselves, I should say, as Christians. Be careful of these people. They will look good. They will sound good. They will smell good. But when you peel the cover off, it's not what you see is what you get. It's different. So you've got something happening. He's saying in the last days, and I believe we're very much in the last days. And when he's referring to last days, he's talking about the last days from the resurrection to the second coming of Christ. And I believe personally we're really close to Christ coming back. How close? I don't know, but I think we're close. But these are people in the church he's saying be careful of. Because they are there and they will destroy the church from within. From within. And let me explain this to you. Keep also in mind of another thing. He compares them to Jannes and Jambres. Now, in Exodus 7, when Moses confronted Pharaoh, and we've seen in the Ten Commandments movie, if you haven't read the scripture, you've at least seen it in the old Ten Commandments movie, when Charlton Heston puts his stick down and turns into a snake, and two sorcerers put their sticks down, and they turn into snakes, and that kind of thing. Well, even though in Exodus in 7, it doesn't identify them by name, through oral tradition or an oral history, Jewish history, they're identified here as Jannes and Jambres. They were sorcerers, magicians, who were under the authority of Pharaoh, who is ungodly, who is a man who presented himself to the people as being a deity, as king of Egypt. He was the god king. So you've got a false god who is leading wickedness, wicked men, sorcerers and wizards, and they're all producing evil, specific antagonists against what God wants to do. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Is he's comparing these people in the church who try to destroy the church from the inside to them. He's saying you're accomplishing the will of the enemy. Because I believe God has a will for every church, every body of believers. For the first time in the history of BCF, over the last couple of years, the vision God has given us is beginning to formulate. and now we actually have specific steps lined up, specific things we are doing to move forward in that vision. But we need to be careful as a church, as do every church, because there will be individuals who will come in and try to destroy it from within. And he compares these people as Jannes and Jambres. Now, the last thing before we actually get into this is he makes reference to gullible women. He says here, make captives of gullible women. Now, what does he mean by gullible women? If you know your history, the women generally stayed home and took care of the kids and provided the food and cooked and cleaned. So somehow, and we'll get into this, these people get in there and get to their ear. But what it's saying that it's not actually saying is, where are the godly men? You women, in the reference here, are gullible because their spiritual leaders, the priests of the home, are not being priests of their home. It's not saying it, but this is what it's saying. You would never have a gullible woman, especially a Jewish woman, if her husband was being the spiritual leader of her house. We talk about covering and accountability. This is what it is. People are gullible and susceptible to be swayed away if they are not accountable to anyone and they don't have a covering, and whoever their covering is not covering them. So this is as much a cry out to the men to step up to the plate and be men of God, to be the protector of your home spiritually, because there's somebody trying to destroy your home. And in destroying your home, that's affecting your church. It's going to filter into your church. So this is a call for the men to get up, put on their spiritual armor, and protect your wives, protect your children, protect your home, kick these people out that are trying to do this. If protect them by, how do you do that? By getting into the Word with your family. By spending time in the presence of God with your family. By teaching them fact, the Word of God, the truth of God, so that the phoniness that comes in, you'll be able to discern it right away. Get into the presence of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, one of the gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits. So you discern, wait a minute, this is not right. Let's look at what the Word of God says about this. So this is a call for the men of God to get up and be men of God. Get their holy armor on. Protect their family. Protect their wives. So that when a child comes and says, "Oh, I heard this said to me today," they don't go, "Oh, whatever, go away from me, I'm busy." But they say, no, let's look at what the Word of God says. When the wife says, "I ran into so-and-so, and this is what she's saying, and what they told me," say, let's look at what the Word of God said. And if you notice, in the first couple of verses that we read, it talks about the kind of people they are before what they do. And one of the big things is they're slanderers, they're ungodly, it's all about them. Roundabout, talking about gossip too. You're slandering, you're putting other people down. You're talking about other people behind their backs. You're attacking people in different ways without them. And it's all about you, not about them. So this is a cry for warning. Get the men trained up with the mindset to be defenders of their home spiritually and lead their home to the throne of God on a daily basis. And the men equipped the men and equipped the body of the believers to kick these people out, to get them out of your midst. Shoo them away. Do not let them. And this is what he's telling us to be cautious of. These are the how they do this. First thing he says is they have a form of godliness but denying its power. They have their form without substance. They're not who they seem to be. Yes, Lord, I praise you, Lord. And then I'm going to go home and cheat on my wife. Yes, Lord, I love you, Lord. But then I'm going to go and talk bad about somebody. Yes, Lord, I'll use these eloquent words when I pray, but I don't spend a moment with my family praying. I don't grow spiritually. I put my best suit on Sundays, but I'm spiritually ugly the rest of the week. They have a form, but no substance. They deny its power. They try to look like a Christian, but they deny the power of Christ in them. And this is important because the power of Christ that is in us comes from the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He passed him down. See, Jesus was under the authority of the Father. We are under the authority of Jesus. But Jesus gave us his authority when he passed on the Holy Spirit to us. So they are denying the Holy Spirit in them. They deny the fact that there's a risen Redeemer, that the truth of God's Word is inspired and it is His Word, and the indwelling and overflowing of the Holy Spirit inside of them, working in believers' lives and changing them. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go find someone who's been sitting in the church 10, 15, 20 years, and if you were to go back 10, 15, 20 years ago when they first came to church, they look, act, talk, think exactly the same. Why isn't there growth? Growth has to be intentional. And growth comes from not just sitting in church, but spending time in the presence of God. Not reading this as a literature book, but eating this up as the bread of life. Soaking this inside you. Make it a part of you. Let it nourish you. And the Holy Spirit nourish us. So they deny the Holy Spirit. They look like Christians, but no power of God in them. Basically, they are dead Christians. They reject the full scripture. They don't believe in the full Word of God as it is, or they'll cut and paste what they like to just enough to just twist things. And we know people like that. We know people like that who even sound like they know Scripture but just twist it just enough because they really don't. And they lack the power to be overcomers. They lack the power. And of course they're going to lack the power. If they deny the Holy Spirit, you have no power to be an overcomer. How can you overcome? We overcome in Revelation Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Without the Holy Spirit in us, we don't have a testimony. And testimony isn't, oh, I was saved when I was 16 and that's it. Testimony is declaring the praises of God. Your testimony is declaring who God is in your life, the power of God working in life, the signs and wonders and miracles you've prayed for that God is doing in your life. That's your testimony. That's being able to look the enemy in the eye and saying, I have been given authority by God in the power of the Holy Spirit that I bind you in the name of Jesus. That's a testimony. We overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But they are denying the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're dead inside. He's saying, stay away from them. having a form of godliness but denying its powers. And next verse, next line, and such people turn away. Turn away. Don't give ear to them. Don't give them the time of day. I'm not saying don't love them, because God loved all men that he sent his only son to die for. But don't let them influence you. What do they say? The most important thing a door salesman has to do is just get his foot in the crack of that door. Once he's got that foot keeping you from shutting that door, can weasel his way. Don't even let them do that. If you see him coming, put the deadbolts on before they even knock. Get away from them, because they're going to fill your mind and your thoughts with garbage. They're going to fill your mind and thoughts with garbage. Just to be fair, honest, and blunt, anytime I see somebody growing in the Lord, passionate for the Lord, praising, worshiping, and then all of a sudden, they stop. All of a sudden, there's a regression in their faith. All of a sudden, their passion, even their attitude starts changing. First thing I have to start thinking about is, who are they listening to, and what are they not doing? Have they stepped away from the presence of God? Are they spending time on their own with the Lord the way they used to? And who might be influencing them? Who is pulling them away from their first love? Whose words are they listening to if they're not listening to the words of God? You see it happen in the church over and over again. You see people grow, get excited. You're so proud. And then what does the devil do? The devil tightens his grip a little harder to work a little harder and bringing in wolves in sheep's clothing, these people, even from within the church, who are just there to pull you away, pull you away, stunt your growth. That's what the devil wants to do. That's all he wants to do, is stunt your spiritual growth, keep you from moving closer. They reject the Holy Spirit's work, all the gifts, the fruit, and the blessings, because their mind is filled with other things. Their attitude is filled with other things. He is saying to turn away from people who say they are godly but have no power, and the other traits, as if they were from Pharaoh's own camp. That they were literally doing the work of a self-proclaimed God king, false God. They are literally doing the work of a false God and messing with demonic spirits, because their job is to get into your heart, get into your mind, make you doubt, make you question, and make you even question friendships, relationships, effort, time spent, commitments. Now understand, those things are all things we need to always present to God. And it's okay to even question the Lord about some things. But when these people start fill your head with so much stuff, it becomes so hard to see the truth because of the lie. And God is saying, Paul's telling Timothy, be careful of these people. Get them out of your midst. Don't give them a foot in the door. Protect your people. Teach your people to protect themselves from such people. Because these people, they're oppressing, and they themselves are unwilling to go with God's Spirit. They're not willing to go, so they don't want you to move with them. They're not willing to grow in their faith, so they don't want you to do it, because they don't want to feel guilty, feel embarrassed, or maybe it becomes a justification of where they're at because you're not growing. It's almost like someone who's depressed. They want you to be depressed with them. Somebody who's down wants to pull others down. If you don't have the strength to pull them up, you need to get away, because it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. you will get sucked into that. He's saying, get away, walk away, turn away. Sometimes we have to cut these people out of our lives. That includes friends. Maybe, not saying don't be friends, but don't take their words with as much weight as you used to take it. Don't spend as much time as you used to spend. Question them, not question yourself. Because this is very important in your relationship with God. I don't know how much more I can stress. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. The devil is perfectly happy with you when you are perfectly happy with the way you are. As soon as you turn on the jets to get fired up for the Lord and to move forward, he's going to fight harder now. He'll not only fight in the spiritual realm within you, but he will fight with those who are susceptible to his leading around you. He will use anything and everything he can to simply distract you from your walk with the Lord. My wife loves to say the devil doesn't play fair. And it's time for us as Christians not to play fair either. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to destroy your intended purpose that God had for you. We want to even go back to the fact that before we were in our mother's womb, he formed us. He knew us. He had a plan for us. So why are the teenage years so hard and so crucial? Because if he can get hate, anger, issues, emotional issues in the way, that's just a bunch of stuff you got to deal with that keeps you from seeing your intended purpose and God's vision for you. Whatever it might be, whether it's hurt, broken hearts, emotional disabilities, or addictions. He uses those things early on to make you feel less than you are by those around you to distract you from your full purpose he has for you. He will do whatever it takes. He's trying to get in through friendships here. People who you thought were your friends. Just to be flat out honest. Your friends are the people who says, let's look at the Word of God when you have a problem. Let's see what God says. Your friends are the ones who say, okay, let's pray right now. Your friends are the ones who say, I know you don't feel like worshiping. I know you don't feel like praising. You don't feel very happy right now. But you know what? I'm going to come over and we're going to start praising. Yes, we'll go out for a cup of coffee too. We'll do some other stuff, stay busy. But we're not going to just be busy as the world distracts. We're going to praise. We're going to worship. We're going to sing to the Lord together. True friends, and if we want to use the word fellowship, the word fellowship in its biblical meaning is people coming together in the presence of the Holy Spirit. True friendships is just that. People coming together with the presence of God in their midst. But you start throwing slander, gossip, lovers of money, boasters, pride, blasphemy, disobedient to parents, unthankful hearts, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, no self-control, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong. You just take the Holy Spirit out of the equation altogether. You take the Holy Spirit completely out. And I'll tell you what I'm noticing, especially within the church, one of the biggest disguises is, I need to vent. So I'm so angry at this person, I'm going to vent to you, and I'm going to talk all these bad things about them because I'm just venting. Doesn't say to allow that. It says get away from these people. They're there to destroy your life. They're there to destroy your relationship with God. 2 Timothy, a little further on, 3:16-17 says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and so is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which is our prayer blessing for God's word, that the man of God, listen to this, may be complete. Man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. To be equipped to succeed in what God has for you, His plans for you, His destiny for you. To be thoroughly equipped. That you are complete means you are whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. God's word does that to us when we stand on it, when we feed ourselves with His word and with His Holy Spirit, because it's in His Spirit that we gain understanding of His word. So when we are walking in the presence of God, when the Spirit of God is living in us and we are in His word, we are complete. And if I am complete, you telling me something is broken within me, I'm going to laugh in your face because I'm going to know the truth. It's like a salesman trying to sell me something I don't need. I already have a good vacuum. I don't need another one. Don't tell me my vacuum's broken. It's been working for all these years, and I'm happy with it. I know who I am in Christ because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. His word is renewing my mind and my heart and my life, and I'm an overcomer. I'm not denying the Holy Spirit. I'm not rejecting Scripture, and I don't lack His power to overcome everyday struggles. So why are you telling me I need more? Why are you telling me I'm missing something? God's word says in Him, in His word, in His presence, I am complete, thoroughly equipped. In other words, able to handle whatever comes against me. Totally equipped. Our catchphrase has become equipping the saints. If you go on the New Church website, that's what you will see. Equipping the saints is our little tagline. What that means is giving you all the spiritual tools you need and then coming alongside of you and applying those things to succeed in what God has for you. To equip you to be an overcomer. To equip you to succeed in this life. Hosea 4:6 says this: my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But this is the big part here. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest from me. Now, who are priests? Who's a priest in the kingdom of God? We are. We are. The Bible makes it clear that we are a royal priesthood. Every one of us who's accepted Christ as our Savior is a priest in the kingdom of God. But these people are trying to take away our priesthood in the eyes of God because they're not priests in the kingdom of God. So what do? They want to justify who they are by usurping what you have from you to make themselves feel good. He said, I will reject you from being a priest because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget you children. That's harsh. But this is why he says, literally after having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people, run away. Run away. Turn away. Get away. Don't waste time. Don't rationalize. Cut them out of your life. I have to be honest. I've had to make a huge distinction in recent years as to who are true friends and people I know. Who are people who I know when I am with, that I'm there, that I will be sharpened as I sharpen them. Because I know they're good for me. They're good for me. I can go let my hair down, so to speak, if I had any hair, and just be myself, knowing they accept me for who I am, but we are, our relationship is based on our relationship, our active, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Then there are others who I used to call friends, who now I've realized when I'm with them, I have to be on because they need me. I need to minister to them. And in some cases, I can only take so much time with them before I have to turn and say, I need to go get away. Because they'll suck the life out. And if you don't go recharge spiritually, you leave yourself open for the enemy. And it's a tough place to be at. And I'm going to stop here right now. We'll finish this next week. But I just felt like this first point is very, very important. It's the key element. He compares these people to people who are doing the work of the devil, whether they realize it or not. They are pawns of the devil. Even if they don't realize it, we need to realize it. And the only way to come against them is to stand on what we know as children of God and to not let them influence us. Not let them speak into our lives, but let the glory of God in us speak into theirs. Would you bow your heads with me?